You are listening to the Furler Bros Tech Podcast, episode 303. Season 8, episode 303 of the Furler Bros Tech Podcast. Today is September the 4th, 2017. I'm Matthew Dean Furler, and beating a man who's never boxed before is my brother James Furler. It's a bit of a callback.
I may not have boxed, but I have done some jiu-jitsu.
Ooh, doesn't help, turns out. Not enough to be good at jiu-jitsu. You actually have to be good at boxing. You want to beat an undefeated boxer.
You have to be good at mixed martial arts, is what I would say.
To be good at UFC, but if you want to be good at boxing, you have to be good at boxing.
That's fair.
It is fair. I mean, they ran the competition.
They tested it.
Yes.
Empirically.
Yeah. It's such a frustrating fight for me. I don't know if you followed it at all, but...
No.
All right. Yeah. Well... Maybe there's a scumbag, so I didn't want him to win, and he did, because he's a boxer. But you know what, James? It's not what we're talking about, all right? This week, like we do every week, we're going to be answering one question about the future of tech. To answer to this question, we're going to take a couple things into account, like the companies that are involved, the people that are working for those companies, their marketing campaigns, of course, the technology they're developing. But before we get into the heart of the show, James got a short disclosure he wants to throw our way.
Yeah, I got two disclosures. The first one is that I work for HP, but do not represent HP or any of their opinions. The second disclosure is that I made an upgrade to my smart home! Yeah! Nice. So I went from three really awkwardly spaced lights in my living room, which caused a big dead spot in the middle, to now I have 9 beautifully spaced recessed lights in my living room.
Nice.
And what's super cool about them is that they are all Hue lights.
Ooh, nice.
I know. I could have gone just with my Cassetra, my Lutron Cassetra wireless or whatever they're called, light switches like I have pretty much everywhere else, but I wanted the color. Now I got 9 color lights. Turns out it was cheaper to buy the starter kit 3 times and to buy the bulbs individually. I literally saved like $150 doing it that way.
Nice.
So, which is insane. Now my current task, by the way, it's super cool. Right now my wife, she a little bit ago was like, why are the lights flickering? I was like, oh, because I have it on candlelight setting.
And nice.
Candlelights flicker naturally, of course. We did a thunderstorm the other night, which is super fun. I really feel like I'm living in Hogwarts now. Now, my current task is I got these dimmer lights because right now, like, you can't. The lights are just on all the time.
Right.
And you have to, like, it's not a big deal for me because I have an Apple Watch, so I can take them off and on. But I have a dimmer light, and I need to figure out how to put like 3 of them on the wall next to each other. And so I think I might be engaging in a 3D printing project to make this happen.
Nice. So, we've upgraded most of our lights to be Hue light bulbs, but this we're having a hard time with training and light switches. So we have to at least temporarily disable the light switches by putting little stoppers on them.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. You could do what I did, which I probably should not say what I did over the air, but let's just say similar results. You can't turn the lights off and on manually.
Exactly. Cool. So what's our big question today, James?
Yeah, so what we're going to be answering is, or looking at, is how will artificial intelligence impact the way you get work done?
Nice.
Yeah, so we're going to start out with giving a little bit of background about what artificial or AI, as kids in the know, talk about. Then we'll talk about how some businesses are using it and how businesses are using it more. And we'll go ahead and go from there.
So up front, machine learning and artificial intelligence is just phrases that are thrown around a lot. And generally speaking, you know, we think of intelligence, everybody kind of knows what that is. Artificial intelligence would be computer simulated version of that. And there are different types of artificial intelligence. There's different fields and studies and stuff. But machine learning is a really promising one in that the theory is you give a computer a bunch of data and it will be able to learn, sort of like
yeah.
human does. And that's been something that...
So like you don't have to explicitly tell it what to do. You kind of just give it some general parameters and let it solve it itself.
Correct. Exactly. You don't tell people... Yeah, you like learning languages, you don't like write a program that people follow for speaking languages. We just hear it enough and we start to understand what it means and how to recreate it.
Now there's no one who's, at least right now, like there's no one who tells you learn this language. You just inherently as a human being learn like, oh, I want to learn this, and so you do. You know what I mean? Like, you find that valuable to learn it. Are we anywhere even close to that with AI where we've created something and it's gone off and not necessarily, you know, totally different, but at least adjacent to it where it's learned something where we went, oh, like, that we weren't trying to teach you that, but somehow the machine thought it would be useful or fun to learn that?
Yeah, so there's...
Talking about general AI, I guess.
So that sort of generally... this is interesting, our question. Because, like, the current state of the art is what they call convolutional neural networks, and what those take are, they're unguided. You have unstructured data, there's a lot of data, and it has a state that it's trying to achieve. So it's trying to... You basically say, this is your goal, and the closer you get to the goal, the happier, the better the results.
Yeah.
So it's trying to... The software is effectively trying to do is trying to understand a pattern, given the data that it has, that will result in some sort of goal. So an example of this would be, you know, playing video games. There's some AI that figured out how to really, really effectively play video games. And that's a great one because in video games, there's an easy to define score. As the score goes up, you're doing better. So if you kill an enemy, it figures, oh, that my score goes up. If I die, my score goes down. And so it learns those rules on its own and will start to beat levels and beat characters over time on its own.
Yeah.
So in a way, that's all artificial intelligence does is you sort of say there's a positive... There's a positive feedback that it works towards, and defining the positive feedback can be sort of hard to do. You give it a big enough data set and it will figure out how to get more of that positive goal. It was noisy.
Sorry.
And let me say, so as far as like general artificial intelligence goes, like, no, that's... The trick is that if you teach them that right now we're pretty good at making an AI that can do like one thing, win a game of Go, win a video game,
right,
learn a language, you know, do data, whatever. But they're only good at that one task once they're done. Because it's how you define that bigger question of how do you... What's the next
life goal?
Yeah, exactly. How do you
happiness?
Exactly. Those are really hard questions to program, turns out.
Humans struggle with them too, so...
Exactly.
Fair. So, okay.
But yeah, that's kind of where we are with CNN.
Got it. Some more like specific types of tasks, which makes sense. And I have there's a cool Harvard Business Review. I always feel like a snob whenever I say I read that article that talks about three ways in which companies are specifically doing that. And I thought they were super cool, so I want to share them. The first one is it's find and own valuable data that no one else has. And it gives this cool example of Camp 3, which essentially farmers have an issue where as you're farming, you get certain crops that just, they don't look good. You know, they're in bad health. That's the word I wanted. They're diseased. And it's a pain in the butt to go around and find the diseased crop. Like, you could walk and you just know what you're looking for. Well, it turns out that this company, Camp 3, has been able to feed a machine learning algorithm enough data of this is what a bad crop looks like that now they literally could take like a drone, fly it over the field, take pictures of the crop, and then have a map coming back to say, here's where all your bad crops are, go clean them up.
Nice.
Yeah, super sweet. And so that's, so it's this idea of like, what was something that was a pain in the butt to do that you can train an AI to essentially do. And so that's a big one. The other thing that they're doing is they're taking a systematic view of their business and finding data adjacencies. So, okay, here's what this means. So there's this company called TalkIQ, and they're like a phone sales company, or a sales company where they do everything over the phone, you know, telemarketers. They're figuring out how to get better. Uh-oh. And so they started asking the question, why do some reps close like half their calls, whereas the other only close like a quarter of their calls? And so they're like, well, let's just start listening on to every single conversation.
Maybe recorded.
Yes. This company is actually doing it. TalkIQ, which you wouldn't know them that. But anyways, they're using voice recognition. They're using natural language. They're using other tools. And they started to decompose these conversations and then use machine learning to figure out what was effective and what wasn't effective in their process. And then they had this, so A, they helped their own sales, but then they went, you know what, there might be other telemarketers who might find this valuable. And so they started selling the internal tools externally as well. And so nice. That's the second way that companies are using it. I'm going to share a fourth one as well. But the third one is package AI for customer experience. And so this is one where we all know it, where we have the most exposure to it. So like there's this other company called Blinker where you take a picture of the back of the car, and through that, it's been trained to know what the car looks like. And so they'll know, essentially, they get your license plate, and so it can character recognize your license plate. It then also confirms it with the model of the car and whatever other information is on there to tell you exactly like, here's the make, here's the model, here's the year, and here's the resale value, because we were able to pull that from different parts of the web. And so kind of a simpler use of it, but one that's, you know, helpful nonetheless. So you can literally be like in a parking lot, or not in a parking lot, in a sales lot, or when you go to someone's house and they're selling it, instead of having to be a little awkward about like opening up Kelley Blue Book and entering all the information, take a picture, boom. Done. Super fast, super convenient. And then there's the fourth way, which is the my favorite way. And in HP, we joke about this all the time, which is like, you call something artificially intelligent. and it gets a lot of play internally. And so, I appreciated this. I was like, guys, we need to get, like, somehow we need to work AI and machine learning into our tools and what we do. And one of the guys was like, we use regressions. That's a form of AI where we're not explicitly telling it. I mean, we're saying find a correlation between these different charts. We're not coming up with the algorithm itself. It comes up with it, and then we just use it. It's like we're using it. It's like, oh, snap.
No, honestly, to some degree, I've taken some classes on artificial intelligence, machine learning, and like AI is just like high-powered statistics.
Yeah.
Like ultra high.
I guess it is, yeah.
And everything boils down to that. So what I really like about those examples is they're all about taking something that has a lot of complexity. They're taking a bunch of information.
Right.
And turning that complexity into something simple.
Correct.
Complexity would be a field of crops that are, some are good, some are bad. It's a very complex problem to do for a human to do, and it takes that complexity and very quickly boils it down into something that is human.
Yeah, which the complexity is both sheer numbers and just what does a disease crop look like.
Exactly. And the phone call one is a great one, because that's an example of they didn't really know what they were looking for. Like, yeah. You know what a disease crop looks like, but in a phone call you know what success is, you know what failure is. Figure out the patterns between the two. But I've got an example of a machine learning that's sort of the opposite, I think in some ways more exciting, which is where you use machine learning to rebuild human comprehensible complexity. You actually take something simple and make it more complex. And this would be Google's done this already, but Apple just made a big announcement about how the Siri team has been using artificial networks to improve how Siri enunciates things.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay.
I, we'll have a link that will show you the different Siri voices and how from iOS 9 to iOS 11 and how she's improved over time. And it's weird how, like, the first one sounds very robotic and clunky, and then the last one sounds really, really remarkably fluent. And what's amazing is they haven't gone through and, like, the idea was there, like, there's one particular phrase which she has to pronounce a street name, and when she says it in
Does she original, sound like Scarlett Johansson, by the way?
Not quite.
Okay. From the movie Her.
I gotcha.
Okay.
But it's like the street name was like Skylake. And in the first version, she says Skylake. In the next version, she says Skylake. Well, she wasn't trained how to say Skylake.
Huh.
She was just trained that when you put the two words together, if there's a mismatch in that little drop in between the two words that you know how to say, this is how you recorrect them to make it sound like it's one word. And so they're doing all these micro adjustments to how she announces things. So it's you're taking what is simple for humans, which is written word, and you're adding complexity to it. You're basically allowing her to recreate all the sounds in a way that a human would.
Interesting.
And so it's actually going to make machines simultaneously be able to understand really complex things that humans can't understand, but also take things that are very simple and make it easier for people to understand by adding in the complexity of how do you communicate to humans. And they can rebuild this necessary complexity.
Crazy.
Yeah. It is pretty crazy, actually. So it's pretty cool. That's where we're going. Hey, I think it's about time we...
Dude, let's do this.
We got to tip our hat to our sponsor this week. This week, the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast is brought to you by computers. Everything we do is done with them.
This is serious.
Done for them.
Then because of them, really.
Yeah, and by and large, I mean, that's sort of our bell horn is computers. So if you don't have a computer, go out and get one. If you do have a computer, go out and get another one. Mention our names, and we get a kickback somehow. That's pretty nice. Anywhere we're
computers. It's an emotional kickback.
Yes, exactly. We appreciate it.
Question, are iPads computers?
Yeah, definitely.
What about phones, like smartphones? Yeah. What about smartwatches? What about smart earbuds?
Does it compute things?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's
they got a tiny little processor.
Like, is that as a chip? Is that like it's a computer essentially?
No.
Oh.
That is the compute things.
Compute things.
But yeah, so
that's fair.
Yeah, I don't know. So what do you think about this all this AI stuff? How's it gonna change your life, James?
Yeah, I think it's gonna change. I think in a lot of ways it's going to simplify a lot of things that we do. Streamline is maybe the good word for that. I think like internally in companies, it's going to I actually think it's gonna raise the bar. I know that there's been a lot of talk of like how AI is going to destroy jobs, that's going to take over jobs. Like, I'm actually in a different camp. I think it's going to raise the bar for poor performance. Like, you think about that second company, heck, even the first company example that I gave with the crops, but like with the telemarketing, like that doesn't. They're not going to be more effective, and therefore go, hey, cool, we can hire half as many people. Like that's not going to be their response. And unfortunately, that would be really nice if that was the response, but that's not how they're going to respond. They're going to go, oh my gosh, we're massively more profitable. Time to hire more people. Time to grow. And other related companies in that field are going to say, we need to get on this and we need to figure out what they're doing. And we need to hire people to develop our own algorithms and our own insights and understanding so that we can keep up and not get squeezed out of the market. Like,
well,
I think that's what you're going to see. Now, crops, that may be a little bit different because it feels like there's only a finite need for that, but maybe not. And
well, you see, I don't know. I go back and forth on this because one of the ideas that I've talked about before is it's, you know, automation. Like, automation has always, the history of human civilization has been that automation has led to more jobs eventually.
Right.
There's normally a
dip. Yeah, there's structural unemployment.
Yeah. And then it comes back around. My question is,
Like, there probably was a guy whose job it is, there is a guy whose job it is to walk around the crops and look for diseased crops. Like,
right.
That's probably a job that will go away, and it would be replaced by someone whose job it is to follow a map and pick the crops.
Right.
Until the drones figure out how to do that for them.
There we go. See, that's what I was going to get to. It becomes one of those things where it's like, you know, yeah, in the interim, like, you make the people more effective salespeople, which for some businesses will grow because they become more profitable. And then somebody's going to get the bright idea that, you know, we can recreate.
We could just use Siri. She sounds like a human.
Kind of like, I mean, you laugh, but yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's what McDonald's is going to do.
But again, like, I see, this is where I struggle. Because, like, from a company standpoint, if you figure that out, your answer isn't to go fire everybody or to not replace them. Your answer is to go, we can buy a bigger field. We can get a bigger building. And I know what you're saying. Like, well, eventually you don't have to have anybody. Still, you can get a bigger field now. Because now it's just a question of how many machines can we buy.
I'm not saying it's less
profitable. So it's like, I think what you're going to find, okay. I think you're actually going to find companies they're going to get insanely more competitive as a result of this. I mean, you will see a few that will get super profitable, super big. You will see a concentration of wealth to the business owners. If there was ever a sign to go out and do your own business, this would be it. But anyways, to the business owners. But I also think they're like, the world and the dream of the Jetsons is not alive. Okay. Like, because that was the idea of, like, almost everything's automated. All he has to do is push a button. Boom. Work for a couple hours per week. Go home. Hang out with a family. Unfortunately, we live in a greedy society. And a lot of public companies have investors who say, we want you to earn more, not be complacent, not be happy. And so they're going to push to do more, get bigger. And it's going to require people to do that.
And that's where I would disagree, is I'd say I think what you're going to end up with is the most expensive part of an operation in the next, you know, like for the phone screening companies, like the most expensive part of what they do are people. If you can figure out how to do what the people do, but with the computer, then you get rid of the people. Or in like, is there an upper limit to how many calls you can go on? Is the, you know, how many, oh, what are they called?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of like, it reminds me of like grocery stores, right? Where you have the self-checkout things and now they have one person for six or eight lanes or whatever.
Right.
And that one's always full and they always have a person there and you're like, wow, that used to be eight people. Now it's one. I feel like, okay. So I totally agree with you in the idea of there will be certain jobs that disappear. Oh my gosh, I'm blown up. There'll be certain jobs that disappear. And just like there always have been with automation, you know, the one example, what is it, the poop smith or person who would go around picking up the horse poop in the street, right? Like that's not a job anymore.
Correct.
And I would argue there are very few jobs that are that level anymore. Does that make sense?
Super low skilled.
Super, super low skilled jobs. Those are gone for the most part. Those are gone. And now we're moving to whatever that next level is. And it's usually a question of can structural unemployment keep up with the rate of automation? And so it's okay to replace those jobs as long as bars keep raising, or, you know, as long as it's done slowly enough that people who lose their jobs, it's not a lot all at once, and they have time to go find something that's just a little bit trickier, harder. And I think the concern is with this AI, is it going to make it so, like, it's going to happen so fast eventually that structural unemployment can't keep up. You literally can't find a job. But then there's also, like, this tipping point, and I think we're already starting to experience it, of, like, there are no more low-end jobs, period. Right. Which is another article that I had about by Trello, which they do like project management stuff, so shucker, they're going to talk about this. They talk about how what's going to, like, the eventual thing is you will have an AI team, like, let's go with a call center example. You're going to have a bunch of AIs that are doing the calls for you. They sound like a human. Maybe they're talking to other humans. They're doing the script and whatever. Actually, I would not mind to have like a help center that is an AI that actually works. Like, that sounds awesome. But right. Anyways, but you're gonna be like
the banks. You could have your own call line.
Oh yes, that'd be so awesome, dude. You could totally could. James is busy right now.
James, that's a really good idea. Like.
I love it. But anyways, my point being that those low-end jobs are going to go away, and all we're going to have left with are managers. That's it. And yeah. So you will, like, the low-end job is a manager, is a management position, but instead of managing people, you're managing AI bots, essentially, that yeah. are doing things for you. And that's not a low-skilled job, and that could become kind of an issue for you. Where, that can become an issue for someone who's like, you didn't grow up managing, you don't have an opportunity to do the super low level stuff. Construction.
The example that I always like to give is a restaurant. Cause you know, a lot of times you'd be like, you go to the Cheesecake Factory. Don't go to the Cheesecake Factory. It's really bad for you. But if you go to the Cheesecake Factory, it's delicious. That's why it's bad for you. One of the reasons why they get complimented is because they hire really high skilled waiters. But if you look around, there's a dozen waiters on the floor. There's the maitre d', there's busboys running all around. And people sit there and go, computers can never replace, you know, human interaction. And I always shrug my shoulders and say, yeah, but if you got cameras that can recognize when the cups of water are empty or when the plate's done or like those different things, and all the wireless communications working really well, all you need is maybe two super high-skilled, like really friendly waiters on the floor going from table to table to table, and that's all they ever do. And then you have an army or you have a few number of busboys in the back that just get an alert, you know, like your crop that's gone rotten, that, oh, this person needs water or they need their place or their plate. And what you end up with is a situation where it's like you actually get better service, it costs less, because better people get paid more because there's fewer people involved. And you, in the end, like everybody wins except for the other dozen servers that aren't employed anymore. And that's the part to me that gets scary because it's not to me.
Which again, if that transition happens slow enough, one by one, they go find other jobs.
Exactly.
But
that's the
whole. Until you get to a point where there are no other that level jobs, just right. Like. The poop smith.
Yeah.
That's my example, but that's
I appreciate it. Well, yeah, and I would make the argument that
right, like I'm thinking about like those flaggers, right? Like, okay, the poop smith current example is the guy who like holds up the stop sign and rotates it for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's so you know to stop in a construction zone. Like there aren't a lot of those level of jobs anymore. Yeah. And I think there used to be a lot of them.
Right. And I just think that I honestly believe that we're already seeing the societal symptoms of this.
I agree.
We blame it on globalism. Some people blame it on foreigners. Some people blame it on, but I think on a global scale, we're seeing the consequences of automation eating the world.
I'm reading this.
It's accelerating. It's not slowing down.
It's interesting. I'm reading this book. It's called The Demographic Cliff. It's a real optimistic book, not. And he actually talks about like the number one, it's this weird thing of like he's following economic growth, and he's like the number one thing that helps economies grow is population growth, period. And he's like, you can like, it's so highly correlated, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he goes, the number one thing that helps inflation too, by the way, is population growth. It has nothing to do with interest rates. He's like, it has to do with kids who come into this world and all they do is take, and they don't give for 18 years. He goes, and they cost a ton of money. He goes, old people don't cost much, really. And He's like, and once you're productive, you're balancing out the equation. He's like, so it's kids, man. And so there's this weird thing of like economies right now. He was predicting a huge dip in, this is an older book, so he's predicting a huge dip in 2014-15. Didn't really happen, but it was more anemic. He's predicting a bigger one either in like 18 or 19 or 20, something like that. And part of it is he's saying, if you look at the demographics, like populations are shrinking over and over and over and over and over all over the world. And he's like, Germany's is the next big one. The U.S. is going to follow quickly. China is going to be one that's coming up. He's like, and we're going to have this huge economic crisis. And I wonder if that's actually a good thing with what's happening with the AI to go, you know what, it's okay if populations are smaller because we are going to augment this productivity with AI, we might actually be okay. Because right. Sounds like one of the solutions is have less kids.
Yeah. Well, and one of the, and honestly, I'm going to end on this thought is, and I've thrown it out there, but it's when we get to a, I think the tipping point for AI is, and this could be 50 years from now, this could be next week, but the tipping point for AI when it becomes a societal problem is when automation becomes automatic. The automation of automation. Right. You know, and that's, you know, we're not there yet. So this is my prediction. For now, it's just going to make people better at their jobs, more efficient. It's going to be, generally speaking, a good thing for the economy. There will be doomsayers. But until you get to that tipping point, that the automation of automation, we're pretty good as a society. But that is coming. That is the specific problem that they're trying to fix or work to solve. And if it's solvable, we will solve it. And then we have an issue. Now, it might lead us to a glorious Star Trek-like future, or it could, you know, lead us down a terrible road. But,
yeah,
you know, we're going to be at a crossroads at that point.
Fair enough. So I know we're going to ask a question here. And it's, what job do you hope will be replaced by AI? And we'd love for you to leave a comment somewhere, Facebook, on our blog, answering that question. I know my answer, the dishes. That's somehow I would love that to be automated. That would be fantastic. We lost the war this week. It was sad. I almost was like, should we just throw the white flag and go out to eat? Like, let's just not do this.
That's funny. I'm going to get my answer, my wish granted sooner than you. I would love to not have to focus on driving while driving.
That's because of where you live. You're biased.
That's very true. And I think I'm going to get my wish, and I think we should talk about it another week.
Let's talk about that next week. Let's go a little bit deeper on AI, specifically automated driving.
Autonomous.
Right? Autonomous driving. Yeah, we'll do that. Cool. So that's our show. Hopefully you learn a little something about AI, where we're at, where we're headed. It's exciting. It's scary. It's unknown. It's kind of awesome. So we're going to have the links to these articles. Plus, we're going to have some further reading for you if you're really interested in it. We'll talk about core machine learning and how Apple's bringing that to the masses. And then I have another article about the business of artificial intelligence that goes even deeper in its possibilities. So go to furloughbros.com/303 to see all of that. Don't forget that you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play and get these episodes sent right to you. And we want to say thank you to a couple of people for helping us out. CNN, thanks for your good article. Also, Quentin Hardy of the Harvard Business Review. The Siri team for their update on the Siri information. And then Dennis Mortensen of Twello. And again, Matthew's going to break in with news.
It's CNN stands for convolutional neural networks. That was brought to you by Computerphile.
Computerphile
is the yeah.
not the
news network.
All right, good to know. Awesome. Anyways, this podcast is sponsored by listeners just like you and computers. We recommend them heartily. All right. With that, I am James Furlough, and my apparently sleeper boxing brother aficionado is Matthew Furlough, and so we will talk next time. Thank you.